Hey entrepreneurs, all this month we've been running some of my favorite episodes from the very beginning of Problem Solvers, and this one is about how the points guy, Brian Kelly, turned his crazy little hobby into a big, big business by constantly reinventing what he did. And then, at the very end of this episode, I call Brian Kelly about a year and a half after this episode was taped, and I check in with him, see how the business has been growing and what's happening since. So check it out if you haven't heard it, and if you have, just skip to the end, I suppose, where we've got a big update on what is happening next with the points guy. I'm pretty excited about it. Okay, here's the episode.
From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. I'm willing to bet that, let's say every entrepreneur has at some point thought this. It's, I have an idea that I just know people would like, but how the hell do I turn it into an actual business? That is such a simple question, but at the same time, an infinitely complex one. You have to take this idea and build an infrastructure around it, one that amplifies the idea and makes it even more compelling than you'd originally thought and creates so much value that people will pay for it. And then you need to figure out how to scale all that so that your idea can keep growing and thriving. And there is, of course, no formula for any of this. There's no blueprint that will work for everyone. It all comes down to the tenacity of the entrepreneur and the potential of the idea. But I can tell you one thing that is universal and that applies to every entrepreneur who has ever grown a business. It is this. The path will not be straightforward, and you will succeed or fail based on how well you adjust along the way. You need to launch, see the strengths and weaknesses of your idea in the real world, figure out a way to make it better and stronger, and then repeat that process over and over and over again. And if you want to see what that looks like in action, then let me take you all the way back to the recession when a guy named Brian Kelly wanted to escape his boring HR job.
Yes, so I was working on Wall Street during the Great Recession, but I was still traveling a ton, raking in tons and tons of miles and points, but my salary remained stagnant. So even though I was flying first class with Madonna on weekends, my actual, I was points rich and cash poor. And my ex at the time was like, you're so good with our miles and points. And, you know, everyone at work would come to my cubicle to, you know, get help using their points. And it really dawned on me that, you know, everyone has points, but no one knows how to use them. So I decided to put together a consulting business where instead of doing it for free for everyone, you'd pay me $50 and I'd tell you how to use your miles and points.
That consulting business would eventually become The Points Guy, which is a huge name if you're the kind of person who travels a lot and cares about how to make the most of your credit card points. And if you're not, here's what you need to know. The Points Guy is arguably the most well-recognized and influential site in the credit card world. It gets 4.1 million monthly unique visitors and grows at 40% every year. It has more than 2 million followers on social media and attracts huge talent to help it grow. The CEO is the former CEO of Gawker Media. Their new head of strategy is from Refinery29. And in 2012, Brian sold the Points Guy to Bankrate, though he retains editorial control and a vested interest in the company. All of which is to say, it got a lot bigger than offering consulting services for $50 a pop. But how did it go from $50 consulting services to this big media company? That's what we'll explore here today, because hearing Brian's story is like watching someone build a skyscraper by first building a little hut, tearing it down and replacing it with a house, then tearing that down and building again and again and again. And while not a blueprint for every entrepreneur, of course, because there is no blueprint, it should serve as a model of just how to do this kind of thing, how to keep at it, how to keep banging that idea into place. We'll get into it right after this word from our sponsor. Do you have a problem you need solving? Let's talk. No, I'm serious, not just through a podcast, but one-on-one, you and me. Entrepreneur has an amazing new platform called Ask an Expert, where you can connect live, one-on-one, through video chat with an expert who can help you solve your problem now. I'm one of the people you can book, but we also have experts in brand building, digital marketing, sales, leadership, and more. All you do is go to entrepreneur.com/expert, find the expert who can best help you, and then book a 30 or 60 minute session with them. And when you talk, you don't even need to take notes. You can record the video call for reference later. Honestly, doing these sessions is one of my favorite parts of the day, and entrepreneurs rave about how helpful they've been for them. Check it all out for yourself, entrepreneur.com/expert. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/expert. All right, now back to the show. So let's start with the consulting service. He launches it as a side hustle, and it's just a little online form where people can explain the miles and points that they have and what they want to accomplish. And if Brian can help them, then he will. And after a while, he starts to get a lot of referrals, and he's starting to bring in a nice little stream of income. And he thinks, you know, let's see if we can make this bigger.
Then I expanded it to you could pay $150 and get a half hour on the phone with me, and I would go through your credit cards and, you know, your point strategy. So it was basically I was working like 20 hours a day.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's not scalable.
My dad, the best piece of advice he's given me is learn how to make money in your sleep. It's got to be about advertising. I was in HR. I didn't know anything about digital advertising, but I did know that I had a skill that people in the marketplace wanted. So a friend of, actually a spouse of a coworker was a SEO specialist and WordPress developer. And he was like, dude, you got to be blogging. If anything, the blog, right? And through Google search, people will find you and then you'll get more clients. And my goal at that point was to get more clients and then just hire people in the miles and points world to work under me. And then I would just be managing a team of people, helping people book awards. But that was a lofty goal and one that I quickly found out, A, it's really hard finding people that know this knowledge and, you know, monetizing it. Even if I doubled my prices, it wasn't going to be the huge payday that I was looking for.
So you can see how Brian is already realizing something important. He's outgrowing his business model. His idea works. It's something that people want, but the way he's doing it just won't ever make him enough money to make this whole thing worthwhile. A blog seemed like a good idea, but it also seemed like a risky one. Because let's not forget, people are paying Brian for his expertise. And if he starts just putting all his tips on his site for free, you know, the thinking goes, what will be left for people to pay for? Brian could have easily fallen back onto this old saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Like, even if something is bad, it's still less scary than trying something new. Brian's story is proof of just how bad of a philosophy that is for entrepreneurs, because think about it. Launching a blog might have been a bad idea, but what was the alternative? Staying with a business model that he knows doesn't work? He could make no change and guarantee failure, or he could make a change, and even if it isn't the perfect solution, he could learn from that change. And that's the key. You move, you learn, and you adjust. When you stay still, you do none of those things. So Brian launches the blog in June of 2010, and, you know, it does okay. He adds Google AdSense to it and makes a couple $100 a month on advertising, which was nice, but not exactly life-changing in New York City. But the site drew a lot of really engaged readers who left a ton of great comments, and it helped Brian confirm that, yeah, this is content people want, and they trust him to give it to them. So that was a valuable lesson. Now, where to go from there? Maybe a premium newsletter.
And we would actually send the blog posts and deals of the day to our readers before the public. We would give them, I think, a 3-hour advance. And actually, people did sign up for it, but it was a ton of work, right? Then to make sure everything was edited in advance, and we were sending out manually every morning. And once again, it added an incremental amount of revenue.
So now Brian is really antsy. He has this idea, people love it, but it's just not making enough money for him to quit his job and do it full time. He needs yet another business model. And then a friend calls him up and suggests one.
And then it was February of 2011, a friend who worked at Linkshare in the credit card affiliate marketing space forced me to go out to drinks with him and say, he was like, you understand how much money there is in credit cards? It's kind of like the holy grail of affiliate marketing. And by the way, you're linking directly to all these companies and they will gladly pay you.
Okay, let's explain what's going on here. Affiliate marketing, if you don't know, is when an online retailer pays a commission to a website for traffic or sales. Amazon is probably the biggest player in this space. So if you go to, say, a fashion blog today and click on a link that takes you to Amazon and then you buy something, that blog is probably getting a kickback from Amazon. And credit card companies are willing to spend quite a lot of money on this kind of thing because getting new people to sign up for credit cards is hard. And here Brian was already linking to their sites and probably turning a lot of his readers into credit card customers, and he wasn't making a dime on that. So his friend says, you know, it's time to get in the game. But understandably, this worried Brian because affiliate marketing can be something of a minefield, especially back then. You know, this was 2011. It was still a pretty new and widely looked down upon idea. And also, he worried that if he was making money by functionally selling credit cards, the credit cards he writes about, his readers wouldn't trust him anymore. But, you know, again, what is he going to do? Stay with a model that doesn't work? So he tries it. He puts big disclaimers on his site to make sure that people understand how he's going to make his money. And then, very nervously, he waits to see how people react. And it's totally fine. If people like what you do, I'm telling you, they don't begrudge you making a living. Your fans want you to succeed.
But what it boils down to is, you know, would you rather, if you're going to get a new credit card, would you rather give, let's say, $100 to a billion-dollar bank or $100 to this small company that's cranking out content every day that saves you tons and tons of money? So I think it's a pretty, but it did take a while. I was wary of becoming the snake oil salesman.
Frankly, in entrepreneurism, you have to do things that make you uncomfortable sometimes. I mean, this is just not a business for people who like to stay in a comfort zone. And we're not talking about anything illegal, of course, nothing untoward. But hey, if affiliate marketing is a way to make money off of this idea of his, then what's the harm in exploring it? And he does it. He signs up and starts making money whenever anyone clicks on his site and then signs up for a credit card. And that money is definitely more than he was making on regular ads. But still, you know, it's the old story. Is this the solution? The thing that's really going to make this idea work for him? Not just yet. And then, one day he's reading the New York Times and sees an opportunity. The paper's Frugal Traveler columnist at the time, Seth Kugel, had written that points and miles make no sense for frugal travelers. And Brian is like, oh no, that is not true. So he reaches out and he says, hey, let's talk. And so Brian and Seth meet up and they talk. And a month later, Seth writes a column about the points guy.
And that same day, there was a big credit card promotion with Chase for the British Airways card, 100,000 miles, which was revolutionary at that time. So I was writing about the offer and why people who didn't even want to go and fly British Airways, you know, they're partners with American and their old program was super lucrative. So I had a blog post about how amazing that credit card was, because it truly was. And at the same time that thousands of New York Times readers were coming to the site and sharing the article. So that was the day that I quit my job. And I don't know exactly how much I made that day, but it was definitely more than my annual salary at Morgan Stanley.
So there, finally, Brian knows what works. Affiliate marketing could earn him real money so long as he was able to get enough media attention and create enough viral content to keep driving new readers to the site. But was he done? Figure out the solution and then just kick back and enjoy it? No, of course not. Because why just be an affiliate marketer when you can work directly with the credit card companies? I mean, here, through the consulting business that turned into a blog that turned into a newsletter that became an affiliate marketer, Brian has built an audience that's really enthusiastic about credit cards, which is literally the most valuable group of people for a credit card company. So over the years, the points guy starts building direct partnerships to help launch new credit card programs. And it culminated last year when they got a call from Chase.
Last year, they were secretly developing what is now the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which I would probably say is the most significant credit card launch ever in the credit card industry. Really compelling value proposition. They were offering a blockbuster 100,000 points for the sign up. And they came to us in advance. We worked with them, you know, under NDA to create kind of a viral sensation for that. So they decided to not put any money into TV and traditional print, like most credit card launches, where they worked with us and we created this fever pitch in the market. We integrated social media into the launch. It went viral. We were even doing Facebook Lives with their head of product to help create it. So readers were, for the first time ever, and they actually, the feather in my cap was that before it launched, Chase confirmed the rumors because it kind of leaked. And Chase on their Twitter said that the rumors are true. The Sapphire Reserve is coming and the points guy has all the details, linking directly to our site. So not only did it just boost traffic, but it was our credibility, right? We were no longer a blog. We were now an official partner of one of the biggest credit card companies in the world, and they chose us to partner. And you can look at all their financial statements. We blew it out of the water.
And that, finally, is how a little idea really blossoms. I mean, think back to it. At each step, Brian took a risk and made himself uncomfortable. He learned something new, figured out what he was still missing, and then adjusted accordingly. And if he didn't do any of that, he'd still be working at his HR job and answering questions for $50 a pop until midnight every night. And that would have been a big waste of a great idea.
Okay, welcome back to present day. That was in 2017, and I called Brian up in January of 2019, and I said, so hey, when we talked last, that Chase Sapphire Reserve deal had really set a new course for the points guy. And I wanted to know first, well, how's that been going?
Yeah, the Reserve certainly launched us to a new level. And since the helping Chase launch the Reserve, we've helped a number of other different cards from across the industry, from Capital One Venture. We helped Citi relaunch their Prestige card, the Wells Fargo Propel card, which... So, you know, issuers that we had never really worked with deeply before all of a sudden started coming to us, which was great. But I remember when we did Reserve, my mom was so worried that you're too in bed with Chase. You're going to chase everyone away. And in fact, the exact opposite happened.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I would worry what your mom worried with, I guess, right? You're saying she thought you were going to chase like other credit card companies away. They were going to say, the points guy is now just a
and consumers, right? Like there were people like, this is the Chase guy, right? Which certainly was a risk, but at the end of the day, the product was so good and everyone got in. And instead of being, you're the Chase guy, people come up to me on the street to this day saying, that 100,000 was amazing. I went to Bangkok and, you know, so it was, at the end of the day, I let the decisions guide me, like, is this going to be really good for our readers?
Yeah.
And it was.
Do you think, so if they didn't think he's the Chase guy, what did they, reconstruct that sentence for me. Did they think he's the guy that tells me about big launches?
Tells me about the deals I need to get in on, and then I can become the cool guy with my friends because I tell my friends. And that's really what we've built at the Points Guy. We've got this really rabid, loyal, smart reader base, and they tell their friends, and they trust us. And then that's how we gain, in 2018, we doubled our traffic from 4.5 million monthly uniques to 9 by the end of December. And while gaining in size, we also haven't, sacrificed quality. We've actually increased it across the board, and we have the deputy news editor, the AP, is going to be leading our editorial this year. So, yeah, it's been an interesting experiment, so to speak, because there really aren't any other comps. When I look at other entrepreneurs and people in the affiliate space and travel, we've really got a unique position. So it's been fun to navigate, and luckily it's been navigating upwards, and I hope to keep it that way in 2019.
Why do you think, last question on this, and then I want to ask you about that AP guy, which I didn't know about. Why do you think that people continued to trust and think of you as, the guy who tells me about great deals, even though they know, right, it's not going unnoticed to them, that some of these big deals that you're telling them about are business relationship deals?
Of course, we're very clear. Every Facebook Live, Instagram, we get, this is how we have a free website. I have 60 employees, in a New York City headquarters. It's a free website, so, we do it through advertising. And we advertise deals that are good to our readers. Is everyone good for you? No. But what we do is we put a lot of resources into creating content that's really clever. I think at the end of the day, why we've been successful is I'm maniacally focused on the quality and certainly we have our viral posts that, we have interns write. But by and large, we have a team of experts. Our top writers are really smart and they unlock knowledge in people, and people save tons of money when they read the Points Guy. So I think just, yes, we make money on credit card launches, but we can translate why that makes sense to our reader. We're not just doing a one-size-fits-all, here's a new launch. We actually had a whole thing of why the new Starwood luxury card is good for families, because we acquired a blog last year, Mommy Points. She's now part of the TPG family. She runs her family vertical. So that was another cool thing of 2018 is acquiring another blog in the space and having them move up, you know, into our platform. So yeah, I think the focus on service and that how we translate directly to our largely millennial audience, why these cards will make their life better.
So let me ask you about the AP guy, and I guess that's interesting that you'd acquired the mommy side as well. So when you started, it was just you, and there was no, like, you know, there was no, I don't even know how to say it. There was no expert way. There's no way that you were an expert outside of that. You were just like a guy who started figuring this stuff out.
Totally. Yeah. And, I mean, I was a Spanish major in college, and it was a HR associate at Morgan Stanley, but I was just always good at points. I was never a writer really. But so yeah, growing this media brand has been a fun,
And fun task. As you were growing and bringing on writers, there was also, right, there was no pool of like professional points people to pull from. So I assume it was something of a kind of ragtag, scrappy operation. Now you're moving into a thing where you're pulling from traditional media, which is really fascinating. How have you had to rethink, or how has that shifted your thinking about what the content is and where it can achieve?
It's really fascinating. Our number one writer right now, JT Genter, he actually was a reader. He was a CPA based in Texas, obsessed. I mean, this guy is brilliant at points. And finally, he's like, I travel. I want to write, you know, a flight review for you guys. And I was like, all right. And it was an Air China economy class. And, you know, we're all about first class. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. He wrote it and it went viral. And he now is I ended up hiring him. He quit his job as an accountant, joined us. Him and his wife are now global nomads. They work full-time. His wife writes for us. She's not full-time. But he's our number one writer because he's so smart at points and he loves what he does. And a lot of our writers are not traditional media people or journalists. But at the same time, we're now breaking news and have an opportunity to increase our credibility in the industry. So that's why I'm hiring Scott. But the reason why I'm hiring Scott Meyerowitz of the AP is because he also gets travel. I've known him for a decade. He had the travel beat, the business beat at the AP, and he has a passion for travel, and that's who I want, you know, taking the helm of our editorial.
So where do you see the next year going?
So I've got a pretty clear vision that 2019 is going to be all about we just hired 5 people in the UK, and mid-March we're going to be launching TPG UK, thepointsguy.com/UK, and with content focused for the UK. It's our number 2 audience globally after the US. We've got about 400,000 readers already there reading our content, even though it's all US focused for the most part. And then Brazil. So this summer we'll be launching. We've got a huge office in São Paulo, our parent company, Red Ventures. And so, taking the brand globally. And then the real big thing will be our app. We've been working behind the scenes. We actually acquired a company called Expert Flyer, which helps search for award inventory and using miles. We're going to create an app that helps our readers maximize earning of points, making sure they're using the right credit cards, tracking their points, and then using them. So if you want to go to New York to Paris and you've got Amex points and Chase points and Marriott, we're going to help you use it and tell you which flights are the cheapest using points and help you make the decision whether you should buy or use points, which does not exist today.
Oh, yeah, that feels like a game changer, because the problem I have is I feel like I have to be the consumer and organizer of this information in order to take advantage of it. What I would really love is just a thing that tells me. Like that tells me.
That's what it is. Stay tuned. We've been working on it. We've got a team of 10 full-time developers. It's a Herculean task to pull together all these data sources, but we're going to do it. And, you know, the airlines aren't so friendly with, you know, unlike banks that due to open banking, they have to let consumers access their, you know, via third-party apps. It's not the same in travel, although we're working with the airlines and hotels, and it's going to take a while to get it perfected, but I'm very confident that we're going to come out with an app that's going to really change the game.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see what comes of it all.
Well, we'll have to maybe I'll let you do the beta of the app, because if you like it, then I'm sure it's going to be a success.
Sign me up, man. All right. Well, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Jason. Safe travels.
All right, that is our updated episode. Hey, do you have old episodes that you really liked of this show that you'd like me to update? By all means, get in touch. You can reach me at jpfeiffer@entrepreneur.com or on Instagram or Twitter at heyfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R, or go to jasonfeiffer.com to check out my newsletter and all sorts of other fun stuff. And of course, entrepreneur.com for all of your entrepreneurship needs. We will be back next week with another update, and then after that, actually, we're getting back to new, fresh episodes. It's exciting stuff here over at Problem Solvers. All right, we'll see you next week.